smile at your neighbor, tell them it's good to be in God's house this morning. Would you smile at them? It's a challenge for some. Well, I'm glad to be here. I'm blessed to be here. I'm blessed to be a part of the ministry here. I'm blessed to be a part of this church. I love this church. You know, I think there was a point in my life where I came to church out of obligation because someone said I should or had to, but I can honestly say I was glad when they said it to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And this morning, I pray that it's in that sense that you're here. I pray that the Holy Spirit has even begun to even work a work in your heart and in your spirit through the ministry of music and the sharing of the word this morning. You're stuck with me this morning. My dad and a group of us, my mom and Shandy and Paul, we went to a leadership and pastors conference in Phoenix, Arizona, with a pastor by the name of Tommy Barnett. Have you ever heard that name? And what a powerful time we had. I just noticed on the announcements that we're going to be showing a taping of that service on Thursday night. I will tell you, his style of ministry isn't exactly mine, but you know, the method isn't important. It's the message that is. And the message that he spoke changed my life forever. And I can honestly say that. I've been in thousands of church services and heard probably as many preachers preach, but that message in particular spoke to my heart and to my spirit. And the young people, are the young people going to be over here for it? Yeah. The young people, you guys will just love that message on Thursday night. But we went to that conference, and you know, it's funny that we've had this tree up here, and it's, are we calling it the Dream Tree? Yeah, it's called the Dream Tree. And we go down to Phoenix, and the first thing they start talking about is dreaming again. And I guess when they put the tree up in here, I can say that I kind of looked at it and said, oh, okay, that's nice. But the Lord spoke to my spirit this week, and if you're 30, if you're 40, if you're 50, if you're 60, if you're 70, doesn't matter how old you are, you need to dream. There, Pastor Tommy Barnett, he got up and he began to speak, 77 years old. He began to share the new dream that the Lord had spoken to his heart and to his spirit. And it just gave me renewed strength and hope for what God has for not only my life, but for your life. So we went to the conference, and what a powerful time in the Lord. And mom and dad, they stayed an extra few days, and they're suffering for the gospel down in Phoenix this morning. It was 90 there every day we were there, and some of you went, oh Lord. But you know something that the Lord laid on my heart and on my spirit for them. And I told my dad said, I kind of feel bad that I'm not there. It's so rough out. I feel like I should be there. And I said to my dad on the phone, I said, Dad, you've been there many times. And you've so much. And I can remember times that he was puking. And 10 minutes later, he was up preaching. And I look back over the last year with mom struggling with breast cancer, and him in the hospital twice with blood clots, and I said to my dad on the phone, I said, you know, I think we come to places in our lives that we recognize the need just to take time for ourselves, to take time for our families. And so that's what they're doing this morning. So I just pray for them right now. I pray God's blessing, rest. I pray for the favor of the Lord over them now. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to share with you this morning out of the book of... Where are you going, Rufus? Man, that felt so good. Don't you just love Rufus? Rufus isn't just a guy who plays the organ. He's not just a guy who sits up here and makes everything sound good. He's a friend to me. And, you know, in life there's not a lot of friends. But he's a friend to me. I want to read to you out of the book of Samuel. Samuel 17:20. And you've heard this story before. David and Goliath. And I've heard the messages spoken over the years. Get your stone and get your Goliath, right? You've heard the messages, haven't you? But I want to make a reference to the scripture this morning, not so much in reference to what happens, and we know that David gets a slingshot and a stone and takes down this mighty Goliath, right? I want to start at verse 20. So David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper. And he took the things and he went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to a camp as the army was going out to fight and shouting for battle, for Israel and the Philistines had drawn up battle array, army against army. And David left his supplies at the hand of the supply keeper and ran to the army and came and greeted his brothers. And then as he talked to them, there was a champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words, so I have heard them. And he said to all the men of Israel, when they saw the men fled from him, they were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel, and it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich and give great riches to. Will give him his daughter and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel. Some of you are thinking, man, I'd take a shot at him for no taxes. Then David spoke to the man who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him in this manner, saying, so shall it be done for the man who kills him. Now Eliab, his older brother, heard when he had spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused again against David. And he said, why do you come down here? And with whom have you left those sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and your insolence in your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. And David said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? I want to ask you some pointed questions this morning that I feel the Lord has been working in my heart and in my spirit. Everything I speak this morning, I believe the Holy Spirit has worked in me long before He'll work it in you. You ever feel like you get up in the morning, you take care of the kids, you get breakfast, you get a shower, you go to work, you come home and you do the same thing day after day after day. The monotony of life. The Bible says that God knows the path. And I think even as Christians, if we're honest, we analyze in our mind, what am I here for? What was I created for? What is it that I'm called for? Is there not a cause? Now, David was out in the wilderness tending sheep, and I've taken care of cows, and I've taken care of animals. That's why I love the scripture, because it always refers to farming, and I was brought up in a farming community and took care of animals. It's not always the funnest of jobs. David comes up from the wilderness and something inside him gnawing at him and wanted more out of life than just the monotony of day in and day out. Anybody else felt that way or just me? I believe through the power of the Holy Spirit, this word, "Is there not a cause?" will change our hearts and spirits. Would you bow your heads this morning with us? Father, in Jesus' name, I ask that you do what I can't do. Speak through these lips, see through these eyes. Father, let no flesh glory be in your sight. But God, all the praise and glory go to you this morning. God, enrich our spirits. Father, touch our hearts. God, move us from glory to glory. Don't leave us where we are. But Father, we ask in Jesus' name that you'd use us in a mighty way. And anyone agrees, would you say amen? Amen, amen. I have a little testimony for you. So you ever pray about something and pray and pray and pray and you think to yourself, maybe there's no use to praying. So we went to this pastor's conference and Paulie, there he is up in the sound booth. Paulie kept talking to me about this trip to Iraq. Well, if you know me, I'm not going to a war zone. Okay, it's just I think that there's wisdom, but some people are called there, and this group of people are going to Iraq to minister the gospel. And Paul kept asking me, and we were talking and praying about him going. And he said, "What's your opinion?" I said, "My opinion is this: if there's war and your life is threatened, I'm not going. God bless those that do, but I'm not going." And he said, "I just need revelation. I just need revelation and knowledge." I said, "Well, let's pray and ask the Lord for it, right?" So we prayed, and I don't know, a week went by, 2 weeks went by, and we're on the flight over there, and he brings up this Iraq thing. And honestly, I get to the point where with Paul sometimes, and I just said, "Paul, you pray about it. But don't talk to me about it anymore. I'm just done hearing about it." And so we get down there. Aaron's laughing. So we get down there, and we get up at, I don't know, we got up early. We got up early one morning, and it's 7 o'clock in the morning, 7:30 in the morning. We go down to the lobby. We do a spiritual thing. We get a cup of coffee. And so we went and got a cup of coffee, a large coffee, and we went for a little walk. I said to him a little while later, I said, "Let's go get another coffee." So we walked down and got another coffee, and I saw a guy from a glimpse. And if you know me, I can't see in distance without my glasses on. And I saw a sign, slow. So I put my glasses on. I'm looking. I wonder, very inquisitive about real estate. And I said, I wonder if Hilton owns this property over here, or it's just the property that we're staying at. So a guy was up there holding a slow sign. They were doing some road work or something. And I said, "Let's walk up there. I'll introduce myself to the guy and let's ask him. Let's, you know, sometimes when you ask questions, right?" So we walk up there and, I said, "Hey, how you doing? Can I ask you a question?" I said, "Does Hilton own this side, or does Hilton own the whole thing?" And he looks back at me like I was speaking English, and he had no idea what I was saying to him, right? So I walked up a little bit closer to him, and I said, "Can you understand me?" And he said, no English. I said, "Oh, okay." So being me, I said, "You don't speak any English?" Little bit. I said, "Oh, okay." I said, "Where are you from?" The guy looks back at me and he goes, "I'm from Iraq. And I said, "Really?" And I look over at Paul and I got goosebumps, right? Because this crazy guy keeps driving me nuts about this Iraq trip. And to me, it's a simple answer, but he keeps asking the Lord, "I need a revelation through the Holy Spirit to find out what I'm supposed to do. And this, I walk up to this guy, just happenstance. You could ask Paul later. Just happenstance. I just walk up to the guy and I engage the guy in conversation. Guy says, I'm from Iraq. I said, really, what brought you here? The guy looks at me like I got five heads. And he goes, war, war. What do you think brought me here is basically what he's saying. I said, how long you been here? He said, I've been here 7-8 months. He said a lot for a guy that didn't know any English. 7-8 months. I'm on a visa. I'm on a visa. Okay. I said, Paul, it's funny we met you because Paul was thinking about going on a missions trip to Iraq. And he looks back at Paul and he says, no, don't go. Wait 2 years and then go. Why do I share this story? I believe that things happen in God's timing. I believe that when we ask, that God will give us clear direction. Now, whether you believe he should go or shouldn't go, he got a word from the Lord. And the craziest thing was, is he unbuttoned his shirt like this. And here's the crazy part. Now, the nation of Iraq is, in religious connotation, what religion are they? Islam, right? He unbuttons his shirt and he pulls out a gold necklace with a cross with Jesus on it. And he looked at me and he said, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. I'll tell you what, if you're looking for clarity, go to God with it, would you? My dad used to pray about everything. He used to pray about the lawnmower. He used to pray about tools after he threw them. No, I'm just kidding. He used to pray about all kinds of the weather. Lord, just give us a good day. Right, Ben? Everything. He used to pray about it. Most of all, he used to pray about Garrett. I'm just kidding. But go to the Lord and ask him for clear and defined direction. Can you say amen? So David comes out of the wilderness. He comes up to this battle. He says, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Is there something that I can live for bigger than just taking care of the sheep? And I think some in this room, like me, in my heart and my spirit, I went to church my whole life, showed up, went through the motions. I ran sound before you ran sound, Jeff Tosher. I set up chairs at the YWCA for years, set up the chairs, set up the sound equipment. There was none of this here. It was just a room. We pulled the stuff out of the back of a van. Ask the people who were there. We pulled the stuff out of the back of the van, set it up. Going through the motions, going through day to day. And you find yourself in your Christian walk as you continue on. And you say, there's got to be more. There's got to be more than just this monotonous, I just go to work. Doesn't matter what you do for a living. I just go to work, come home, eat, shower, go to bed. And I found myself in my spirit, a cause. There's got to be a cause greater. The reason or a motive for a human action, a cause. What is the overall reason or motive for how you live? That's a question for you, a very pointed question. What cause are you living for? What are you living for? Are you just existing? Are you just going through the motions of life? Are you just another day? I want to go deeper. I want to go deeper. Lord, I just don't want to exist. I want to go deeper. I want a cause. I want a motive. The world teaches us to be me-driven, doesn't it? Turn Facebook on. Turn Twitter on. Turn anything on. It's amazing to me the things people post on Facebook. I don't care if you're shaving. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care if you're walking your dog. It don't matter to me. Everything is me-driven. Everything is I-driven. All institutions that require self-service and self-sacrifice are falling apart. Look at the statistics. Go on Google. If you're familiar with the internet, go into Google. Look at the percentages from the 60s, from the 50s, from the 60s, from the 70s, and even the 80s. Institutions that require self-service, self-sacrifice, families, Divorce rate. Families. I want to make a reference to that. People say, I don't want a family. I want to do me. My question is the mentality, if I can't control it, run it, be in charge of it, get noticed, sing my song, share my message, come in late, do nothing, and continue to be fed, is that the mentality we walk in? We live in a narcissist society. Narcissistic, definition, having an excessive or exotic interest in oneself. Are we more interested in me than we are in God? Are you in love with you and only you? Two people get married with this mentality. It never works because it's all about one person. Marriage is about committing yourself to a higher call, an institution bigger than yourself. It's called a marriage. Am I committed to me or am I committed to us? Am I committed to what I want? What I want. Oh. I believe that mentality leads to not being happy, wanting to quit, wanting to leave, wanting to walk away, having no joy, and always struggling with a sense of contentment. Why are we unhappy? Why are we not filled? Why are we Christians wandering? I felt this in my own life. I felt in the morning getting up, oh, dear Jesus, why do I got to do this again today? Do you know why we feel that way? We have broken the laws of the kingdom. What do you mean by that, Ryan? I don't think I've broken any laws. I don't think I've done anything wrong. I think I've been a good person. I think I've done the right thing. We've broken the laws of the kingdom. Galatians 6, 7 through 10, God will not be mocked. I love that scripture. Every time I read that scripture, I was talking with somebody some time ago. What's the scripture in your spirit, Ryan? God won't be mocked. Whatever a man sows, he'll reap. We make that connotation to money. We make it in reference to money all the time. But if you just sow your life to you, never serving, never loving, never giving to anybody but you and your own, your family doesn't count. Well, I take care of my family. That's what we're called to. You don't get a trophy for that. We're called to serve the kingdom. God will not be mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. So what do you mean by that, Ryan? If you sow to you, if all you sow to is you and your own, that's all you'll ever have. Put that way, it brings understand. It brings revelation and knowledge, doesn't it? If all I ever sow to is me, 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 that's all I'll get is me, 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 me. I'm going to take some of the blame off of us. Can I do that? Can I do that? Do you know where this started? I'm going to hold off on that slide just a minute because I want to read something else here. Luke 12, 13. Then one from the crowd said to him, speaking to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me judge or an arbitrary over you?" And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses." And he spoke a parable to them. And I would challenge the church to begin to read parables. read the words of Jesus. And he spoke to the parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentiful, and he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater ones. And there I will store my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, you have many goods laid up for you for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him," I love this, "but God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will you find things to be you have provided?' So he said, 'He who lays up treasure for himself is not rich towards God.'" That's profound, isn't it, church? I want to read you one other thing. Isaiah. Isaiah 14, 13. Where does this narcissistic thought process, where does this me mentality start? It started when an angel called Lucifer became so content with himself that he forgot about the God that he was serving. Are you with me? "I will ascend into heaven." This is Lucifer speaking. "I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation, on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be the most high." I want to ask you something. Are you your own most high? It's a good question, isn't it? I want to encourage you this morning to let the eyes go and begin to think on the goodness and the grace and the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 3:2 says, Paul said, "In the last days that men will become lovers of themselves." I said this in the first service, and I'll say it again. There's been people through my life that I've actually laughed at because they don't serve themselves, but they serve a cause greater than themselves. I've actually laughed at them. Me. Certain points in my life, I've looked at people and said, I remember I had a conversation, and I'll make reference to this. Lenny, if you listen to this later, Lenny Burrow sat in my parents' kitchen 10 years ago and said, "Ryan, less things is more." I laughed at him. I thought he was the biggest fool in the world. It took me 10 years to get that sense of I out of my spirit. I want to tell you this morning, like Lenny told me 10 years ago, and I pray it doesn't take you 10 years to find this. You'll never be happy. You'll never be fulfilled. "Well, Ryan, how about that guy? He's got all the money. He seems to have it all together, but he doesn't serve God." You don't know his heart. You know how many people I've met over the course of my life that they got all the money in the world? They're the most miserable people alive. Yeah, they put a good show on. Yeah, they put the church face on. They come in here and do the two-step during worship. But they're miserable. Paul said, "In the last days, men will become lovers of themselves." There's people in here right now. You say, "Well, Ryan, how do I turn that corner? How do I make a switch?" And I'm closing with this. How do I serve, Ryan? I just don't know how to get involved. I had a conversation right over there a week ago with somebody. I said, "I just don't know what to get involved with. I just don't know how to get involved." First person I thought of was Bubbly Shandy. Shandy needs help. She needs help next door. She needs great men of God to come along her side for the right reasons. I'll just say real, for the right reasons. She needs great men of God. She needs men. Our children are over there. Our future, the longevity of the ministry of your family, they're next door. I look at the ushering, week in and week out. You know what it means when you walk in and you're having a terrible week, somebody reaches their hand out. You know who does it to me every week without fail? They've almost done it to the point where some weeks I've been like, dude, really? Leave me alone. Terry, every week. And I can honestly say, as my heart and my spirit has changed, I love it when he comes up to me and he greets me in the name of the Lord. How are you, Ryan? It's so good to see you. You make a difference, Terry. Ushering. Bus ministry. We've had servants in the bus ministry. I asked my dad a month ago, I said, can I lay down the worship team? He said, why? Why do you want to lay down the worship team? I said, because I see a need in the bus ministry. I see a few of them guys could use some help. He said, no, I want you to do something better than that. He said, Ryan, I want you to begin to pray that more will rise up in the bus ministry. I believe that's you're more effective praying and just continue to worship and lead us into worship. I said, okay, Dad, I'll do that. But can I ask you, is there somebody in here? Is there one? Is there two? Is there three that can make a difference? The women's ministry. I can go through all the ministries, the jail ministry, Pastor Larry, some of the young men in this church, me included. We need to take some of the burden from some of the guys who are aging. You know, the prayer ministry. I got a word for Doug and Lori a couple weeks ago. They called me on a Saturday night and began to pray for me. I can't even tell you what that did for me. I can't even tell you. I'm going to close with this. 1 Peter 1:24. All people are like the grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. Let me read that again. All people are like the grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flower fails, but the word of the Lord and his kingdom stands forever. What are you living for? What are you living for? You living for you? Or are you living for God's kingdom? Will you close your eyes and bow your head? Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that if this word was only for one, that, Father, it would take root in someone's house in this place. Father, I believe that the next Billy Graham could be in this room. I believe that the next Tommy Barnett could be in this room. I believe, Father, that the next Marty McDonald could be in this room. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask that this message, Father, would inspire a heart. Father, it would inspire a spirit of a servant in this house. And God, even as you use me, Father, the kid that couldn't barely get out of high school, teacher said was illiterate, was dyslexic, couldn't pay attention, would never do anything. Father, the way you inspired me, I pray in Jesus' name, God, that you would inspire a heart. Father, you would inspire a spirit of a servant in this house. God, we thank you that you build your kingdom. Father, through the love of your people and through the serving of your people, that you'll build your kingdom. Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for what it means to so many. Father, I thank you for this year. We've seen a shift. Father, we've seen a change in motion. We've seen a difference. And Father, we just recognize right now that it's been all about you. It's been about your Spirit. I ask, Lord, in Jesus' name, Father, that your anointing would fall and rest upon this house. God, that your glory would be so recognizable that not one could take it. Father, fill this house with the praises of your people, God, in Jesus' name. We're so thankful for this house. Thank you, Lord, that the heat's on. Father, thank you for warm and loving hearts. Thank you for people who make a difference. Father, I thank you for Doug and Lori Huntington. Father, I thank you for Aaron and Ben Martin. Father, I thank you for Chuck and Cheryl Vendetti. I thank you for Ben and Amanda McDonald. I thank you for Jim and Robin Booty. Father, I thank you for Phil and Dee Gardner. I thank you for Brad and Kelly. Father, I thank you for Chris Busniak, Jessica, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, that the load wouldn't be heavy, but Father, that many will come alongside. And Father, we'll just do it all to give you glory and to give you praise. And Father, just to let your name be heard across the nation. Father, I ask you for the young people, that you'd rise up, the spirit of a servant in this house. We give you the praise for it. We give you the honor in Jesus' name. Would you say amen, amen, amen? Well, church, we love you. My dad, if I know his heart, he'd say, I love you. And he means it. He loves you so much. He'll be here. He'll be back, I think, tomorrow. He'll be back. So he'll have a great word for the church this coming week. Don't miss it. I challenge you to bring one person with you to church this Thursday or Sunday. God bless you. I love you. Stay warm today. Drive safe. We just pray protection over everyone that leaves here. In Jesus' name, God bless you, church.